If you have a Bible, open up to Zephaniah chapter 3. If you don't know where that is, it's pretty close to the end of the Old Testament. And while you're looking there, Zephaniah 3:9, I want to tell you a story. I spent nearly 3 weeks in Latvia in this past month, got back. Three summit students and four other individuals went there. Our friend Effie Smits, who is Latvian, invited us over. Yeah, woo! And I asked him, I was sitting in his home, and I said, Effie, could you tell me the story? How did you end up at Summit? And his voice kind of dropped. He said, well, you know, I was owner and director of the best-selling magazine in Hanoi. I mean, I knew this guy for a year. I didn't know that. And Hanoi has 5 million people, and it's bigger than LA, right? And I was eating Vietnamese food and laying out on the beach, and just my life wasn't right. And I talked to my dad and decided to come to Summit. And I got here and walked into the dorm, and I had this little tiny room, 35-year-old guy who was at the top of his game in the marketing business, and he said, what am I doing here? And you know, he said, I read Zephaniah 3:9, and this is what he read. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language that they may call on the name of the Lord. And he said, I knew why I was here. And all the past life kind of melted away. I doubtless say there's probably a lot of people listening online that you're at the top of your secular game, but you can't say you have a pure language like what we heard from Bob. Was that awesome or what? You know, God can do the impossible, right? And if you haven't listened, if you tune in late, you got to go back and listen to that testimony, but not while I'm preaching. I will restore to the people a pure language. Wouldn't you just love to have a pure language? God, give me a speech that only you can give, right? Some of us have destroyed our relationships. We've promised too much. We said too little at the wrong time. We boasted of things that were not true. And we were the very person that Jesus talked about when he said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. God wants to give you a new heart. And what comes with a new heart is what? New speech, right? He loves you and can change even a lifetime of mouth issues. When I was a young man and God started to get a hold of me as a young teen, I said, God, you got to do something about my mouth because I'm getting in some bad trouble here. And I've been on a lifelong journey for 50 years with God to capture Jesus' talk. When Effie told me that he came here because God was going to give him a new language, that resonated with me, because even to this day, never a man spoke like this man. That's what the officials who had been sent out to round up Jesus and throw him in jail, when they got near him, they just couldn't handle capturing him, because they said, never a man spoke like this man. Oh, that God would give us speech that we could talk to people and love them, capture their attention, teach them, and be all that we ought to be. You know, we have a turning reflex. Our mouth turns somewhere. In this passage, it says that we would call on the Lord. But where do we usually turn? We know how to call our broker. Hey, we know how to call our physician when we get sick, but we don't have the great physician on a speed dial, right? We can call our dad when we need the cash, but we don't call our father who's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. Where do you turn? Where's your reflex? Where are you turning to? Do you know how many words your average human being speaks in a day? How many thousand? 7 to 20,000 words a day. Man word. 7 to 20,000 words, man word. And you know, many of us, we don't have language that's God word. Our directional speech tends to be horizontal and not vertical. You know, speech is very directional. When the American football coach pulls somebody over and says, hey, yo, Jones, get in there. Get in there. Here's the formation. Here's the motion. Here's the pass count. Or the pass protection. Here's the run scheme. Here's the snap count. Get in there and tell them what to do. And that listener knows exactly what to do. When mom says, hey, get upstairs and clean your room, the child knows what he's supposed to do. When the president talks, the listener goes, yes, Mr. President. We don't talk to our boss like we talk to our wife. We don't talk to our neighbor like we talk to our children. We talk to people a certain way because we're used to that. How do you talk to God? Are you listening to him? How's your language? Do you need a new language? When I met my wife, Sue, her mother told me a story when she was a little girl, just learning how to talk. And when somebody wasn't looking at her and just talking, she would say, look at me. Look at me. Well, today this kind of spills over a little bit into our life. I'll talk to you when you're giving me your full and undivided attention. We like it when people are focused on us. Does God say, yo, look at me. Don't look at him, look at me. Where do we turn? He gives us a new language that we'll call upon his name. We chatter a lot with men about men, but we don't really talk to God enough about men. God gives us a new language. Why does he do that? Because our language is inadequate. We don't have adequate language. God is bigger than us. We need big language for God. We think things are impossible. When God says, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, what? All things are possible. Hey, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for whom? Those who love him. You haven't even seen it yet, what God is going to do. You haven't even heard it yet, what God is going to do. Our language is not grand enough. It's not holy enough. It's not humble enough or magnificent enough. It's not precious enough and colorful enough and imaginative enough. Our language is not creative enough and sufficient enough because God needs to give us a new language where we can really praise him in a way that we've never praised him before. He's the eternal word of God and he lives in you. The word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then you know what John says? He says this, of his fullness we have all received. Of his fullness we have all received and grace upon grace. Hey, this eternal word of God that created the billions of galaxies that exist. If you've seen the Webb telescope, the Webb telescope images can't even begin to describe the magnitude of the glory of God. So how in the world can we think that we can articulate what God wants us to say with our own language? We don't have the language to say how God, great God is. He's got to give us a new language. How's your prayer life? Maybe your prayer life isn't what it ought to be because God needs to give you language that praises him. It's not all about you. It's about him. So when we turn to the New Testament, right, and we see the God incarnate and the humility and the servanthood and the compassion, the healer, the resurrected Lord, the magnitude of the love that God had for us by dying on the cross and forgiving our sins and coming in humility in Bethlehem to see if we were really paying attention. He comes at Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. And what happens? What's the first miracle that the Holy Spirit performs? Is it raising the dead, feeding the poor? Is it healing a leper, casting out demons? No, it's tongues. Because God needs to give us a language that's adequate to praise the Almighty. That's what we need to ask for. God, help me to articulate as best I can your glory and your magnificence. And if you don't have that language, you need to ask for it. Because maybe God would give you the healing when you open your mouth and praise him. 8 verses into the book of Acts, they're promised that the Spirit would help them be witnesses for Jesus. Acts 2:4, God gave them new tongues. So much of my life, I've heard so many things about tongues. And so often we've missed what's pretty obvious. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. God gave us a mouth to praise him, to call upon him, to exalt him, and to talk to others about him. It's not to complain, it's not to criticize our spouse and hack at our children and bemoan the fact that we're not getting what we ought to get. Acts 10:46 says this, on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God fulfilled the promise that he promised in Zephaniah 3:9, when he said, I'll restore to the peoples, the Amim, not Am Israel, but Amim, the peoples. The peoples, God poured out on the Gentiles. Hey, we thought this salvation thing was only for us Hebrews. That's what they thought, but it's not. Look, they're all speaking in tongues, magnifying God. When the Holy Spirit came, he gave mankind, the nations, a tongue to call on the name of the Lord. Paul's very clear about what this means in the book of Corinthians. In Corinthians chapter 2, he tells that the language of the Spirit is a mystery speech. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. The wisdom of God in a mystery. Do you think you're going to learn it here at Summit by some professor that's going to tell it to you? Well, hopefully, as long as he reflects what God is doing. But if he doesn't tell you, God will tell you because it's a hidden mystery. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual words. Not the words which man's wisdom teaches. Ouch, why do we have a school? Folks, because we're pointing you to the one. God can do this in your life. Not only is it rational language, but it's irrational language. Do you think you can always articulate the magnitude and glory of God with your mouth? Of course not. Paul says the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you have groanings? I got groanings. Not because I'm old. I've had groanings since I was a little boy. I've had groanings. I cry out, God, God, do you hear me? Does your Spirit groan for me? It says the Spirit groans. You don't groan, he groans. David says deep calls to deep. It's when he's overwhelmed with his problems and difficulties, and so many of these prayer requests, could you handle what some of these people have articulated, so much of what they say? It's like beyond comprehension. But I'm telling you, David says, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and waves have gone over me. Did you ever feel like that? God's breakers and waves have gone over us. But this is what David says. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. When the breakers are over you, the Spirit of God intercedes in language that is maybe unintelligible. Paul says it this way, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. It's pretty clear in 1 Corinthians 14 that we have logical language and spirit language. And I tell you, as a person who's heard for 50 years in my life, criticisms of tongues, when God gave us language to praise him, language to cry out to him, language that you don't think you have, but you have because your spirit is crying out to the God of all eternity. We need to find that language. We need to find that language. What does that look like for you? Well, I'm not exactly sure, but I know that God communes with me in my mind and in my spirit. I want to thank Bob for what you said. There's this fear of being baptized with the Spirit, for somehow that we would come into connection with the irrational part of our life that is consumed in the mystery and the unintelligible ways of God. But I'll go even one step further. Paul says this, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsiders come in, he is convicted by all. He's called to account by all. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. So my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. We're commanded to seek the revelatory speech of God. We've lost this. We seek to purchase smoke machines on Amazon.com. We want to look intelligent, and we want to look like we are cool. But friends, I want the language of the man born blind. I want the language of Jairus, who when his daughter was healed, he had praise on his lips. I want the language of Peter when he was embraced by Jesus on the shores of Galilee after his denial. I want the language of Joshua when the walls came down. I want the language of Miriam when she took a tambourine and danced before the Lord. I want the language of David when he danced when the ark came to Jerusalem. I want the language of Daniel when the mouths of the lions were stopped. But I'm not going to say it too loud because I don't want them to open up their mouths. I want the language of Philip when he discovers that the Ethiopian is in the desert, and that's why God took him out of a vital ministry in Samaria to preach to one person who needed to take the gospel back to Ethiopia. I want the mouth of Mary Magdalene when she goes back to the disciples and says, I have seen the Lord. When I was a teenager, I prayed that God would cure my sarcasm and my impulsive speech and my problem with saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Do you look for a new tongue? Folks, there's so much that God wants to replace. He wants to replace our cruelty and our criticism. He wants us to replace our put-downs and replace them with build-ups. He wants us to heal in the place of wounding. We need truth in the place of lying and joy in the place of depression and yielding in the place of rebellion. We need to say, there's nothing I would rather do to help you get this job done. I can see how difficult it is for you. What can I do for you? And some of you are saying, you know, I've just got my past. God will give you a new language to talk about your past so you can talk about it without crippling yourself. He will again have compassion on us and he will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. That's the kind of language you need to talk about your past. Some of you have been silent in your life and God needs to give you a language that will talk. You know, Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And so some of us need a language to speak up when we've always been silent and looked so self-righteous. Some of us need a language to talk about our future because the future looks dark and grim. There's so much I really want to say, and I don't have time. I want to close by saying, do you want Jesus today? Because you need a new language. God, help me speak like I've never spoken before. Help me to talk correctly to my wife, to my boss, to my kids, to my friends. Give me a language of praise, optimism, and hope. The other day, I want to tell Serge, I don't know if you're here tonight, Serge, I think he's not feeling well, but he prayed, you know, that God would deliver from your message right there. He prayed that God would deliver us from our negativity. You know, and I went home to my wife and I say, God, deliver me from my negativity. You know, we can justify our criticism of others in the name of truth and accuracy when really we're just critical of others for some strange, devilish reason. If you don't know Jesus and you want him in your life, I'd invite you to say, God, come into my life. Change me. Give me a new language. Fill me with your spirit. Give me something that I've never had before. And so I'll speak and magnify you with praise. And if you did that tonight, if you just did that, text decided to 51,000. If you need to connect with somebody, I would also encourage you to text connect to 51,000 because sometimes we just shouldn't be alone in our... I want to close by reading a verse. It's a very strange insertion when these officials went to round up Jesus to throw him in jail. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Do you want living water? This is the next verse. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Do you want rivers of living water flowing out of you? It's by the Spirit of God. Accept Jesus into your life today, folks, and call out for the Spirit to fill you and give you a new language.